I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. We all know one hard and undeniable truth. Physical beauty comes with tremendous power and tremendous benefits. Those who possess it are generally luckier in love, more likely to be popular, and apt to get better grades in school. But very few of us realize just how much looks affect every aspect of our lives. Recent studies document that people blessed with good looks earn about 10% more than their average-looking colleagues. They are also more likely to get hired and promoted at work. What exactly is this physical attractiveness phenomenon, and how much does it affect each and every one of us? Dr. Gordon L. Patzer has devoted the last 30 years to investigating this unsettling phenomenon for both men and women and how it touches every part of our lives. In his book, Looks, published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association, he reveals not only its impact on romance, but also on family dynamics, performance in school, career, courtroom proceedings, politics, and government. Looks is the first book to explore how the power of beauty affects both sexes and how the rise of reality TV shows, cosmetic surgery, and the celebrity culture have contributed to our overall obsession with being beautiful. Welcome to the program, Gordon.
Thank you for having me speak with you today.
How does this focus on image manifest itself in the workplace? How important is it compared to what a worker accomplishes, the performance on the job?
First, the importance of a person's image or physical attractiveness in the workplace impacts people at the application stage, once hired, and also as they perform their work. At the application stage, the research shows that individuals of higher physical attractiveness are more likely to be hired. Once hired, those individuals advance in their career faster than their counterparts. There was research conducted initially at the major university career centers in the United States, which identified that. And then more recently, there's been a number of studies done, including the Federal Reserve Bank, that looked at how people of different levels of physical attractiveness are compensated and employed in the United States. Again, it impacts at all the levels, at the application, once hired, and at the promotion stage.
I also recall reading in the book that something interesting happens in the workplace in that people who might be deemed good-looking or pleasing to look at, although they might be hired above people who are not, they're also held to higher standards in terms of performance.
That is true. And at the same time, their performance, individuals of higher physical attractiveness, is evaluated as more favorable or as more productive. So individuals, once employed, their actual performance is evaluated maybe more positively. It's evaluated more harshly in some regards, but at the same time, more positively in that they get better evaluations for the same work when it's put in a disguised experimental study as performed by someone who is of lower physical attractiveness.
Gordon, are there certain professions or industries where physical appearance is more important for success than others?
Surprisingly, the answer is no. Conventional wisdom would say there are certain industries, certain positions, where appearance is generally thought as more important, where appearance would then be more important in the actual employment situation. The reality is that does not hold true. The research will show overwhelmingly that despite the industry, despite the occupation, really across all jobs, the importance of a person's physical attractiveness plays a similar level of impact in the person's productivity and in the person's evaluation of his or her work.
It's illegal to consider age, race, and religion when making hiring decisions. What about physical attractiveness? Do you think it's ethical to take that into account?
You asked two questions. One is it legal? And the second is it ethical?
Yes, I did.
Legal. Technically, yes, it is legal to hire based on physical attractiveness. The reality, however, it would be extremely difficult to make our hiring decisions based on physical attractiveness and still do so in a legal framework. And the reason is the hiring personnel in that case would have to be very careful not to equate or use physical attractiveness as a surrogate measure for any of the federally protected determinants or features of a person, such as age, race, sex, national origin, disability, etc. So on one dimension, technically it is legal, but in reality, it would be extremely difficult to put into practice. In regard to the ethics of it, what's legal may not be ethically permissible. That becomes an individual decision, which is then tied very closely to, is it good business practice? The ethics dimension of it is the hiring individuals really need to deliberate that strategy, so to speak, either implicitly or implicitly. Do they want to base hiring decisions on a person's physical attractiveness? Because the business side of that is, what will that do to the other employees at the workplace? Will it create ill will to the newly hired employee and those considerations? Also on the ethics side, there's a question, do we hire individuals of a certain level of high physical attractiveness or low physical attractiveness to work in positions that we think are more important where appearance plays a role, or to maybe promote or work with different types of products? An ethical question that came about early in this research in the last few years is, do we hire, for example, in a spokesperson situation, individuals of very high physical attractiveness to promote luxury products, upscale cars, jewelry, perfume, and then individuals of low physical attractiveness to then promote or sell or advertise more mundane products, such as household cleaning products? If we would choose to do that, business-wise, it may make sense. On the other hand, there's the ethical side. Do we want to promote the physical attractiveness phenomenon that basically holds that individuals of higher physical attractiveness realize certain benefits in life that individuals of lower physical attractiveness do not realize?
Actually, this ties into fairly current events. I won't name the clothing retailer, but I know one of note sort of ran into a legal propeller with their hiring practices as related to physical appearance and attractiveness.
Exactly. And in that case, the initial lawsuit was brought against that employer based on the notion that they were making a decision based on beauty or good looks or physical attractiveness. Right. And in that case, it was later changed to being aligned with one of the protected class characteristics. Right. So by equating with the two, it was finally settled outside of court. But you bring up a very good point in that case. It's a real-world application of the notion. Here was an employer, presumably, who was making hiring decisions based on a person's physical attractiveness. It was taken to court and then eventually settled outside of court when it was moved from strictly physical attractiveness to be equated with a federally protected.
The thing that struck me about that case was the fact that it wasn't racial. It was purely based on the attractiveness of the people being hired.
Exactly.
What recommendations for the workplace would you make to someone who's not born with movie star good looks?
Short answer to that is that it's important for everyone to be aware that the so-called playing field in the workplace might not always be level in terms of a person's looks or physical attractiveness. Despite this unleveled playing field, that need not be the end of the story for any individual person. The longer answer would be the individual needs to first acknowledge and keep cognizant that looks do count. And in some situations, a person's looks might dominate the situation, but looks do not rule out other considerations. And the person that you've just described needs to consider what actions they can take to enhance their physical attractiveness. A point that I make in the book also is that a person's physical attractiveness is comprised of physical features such as grooming, clothes, the appearance that we're born with, but also non-physical features that can enhance our physical attractiveness or our perception of physical attractiveness. And this includes good interpersonal skills, body language, eye contact, good listening skills. There's actions we can take to improve our physical attractiveness, as well as being aware of the fact that, yes, a person's image or physical attractiveness does play a role in the workplace, and it's important that the individual be aware of that.
And you really don't see this ever changing, do you?
I do not see it changing, and if we look at the research, it has been around as long as the human race has been around, and it will likely only continue or increase, in part because of, we can call it a global communication village, where certainly across the United States, the communication of what's physically attractive is everyday common knowledge, so to speak, but that also transcends around the world. And the standards that we're judging people with based on their physical attractiveness occurs around the world.
What about, and we seem to brush up against this demographic group all the time lately, especially with articles on 60 Minutes and a whole bunch of webcasts and podcasts we do, and that's the Generation Ys and the millennials and whatnot, and their perceptions of what's attractive, and many of them involve various forms of body art or hair coloring or tattoos or piercings or whatever the case might be. Can you comment on that?
Yes, absolutely. When we're dealing with the topic of look and physical attractiveness phenomenon, and the fact that all of this is powerful, pervasive, and it's often unrecognized or denied, all of that is consistent over time between countries, between cultures. What does vary is really precisely what you just identified, and that is individual fashion and fads and trends. So within or between populations, between groups, between cultures, there are fashions, fads, trends that are viewed differently by different people. But the basic theme of my work in this area is that whatever an individual culture or individual group view as higher in physical attractiveness, that is who is then awarded with benefits. But those who are not viewed as physically attractive are viewed less favorably and are given less benefits in their life. So it's how we define physical attractiveness and the fact that those of higher physical attractiveness are benefited by their appearance.
We'd like to thank author Gordon Patzer, the author of the book Looks, Why They Matter More Than You Ever Imagined. Thanks, Gordon.
And thank you for having me speak with you today.
It's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our five executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. And now here's Kevin Lee.
I'm visiting AMA's seminar, Presentation Skills for IT and Technical Professionals, taught by veteran instructor Irv Rose. And I'm asking participants, how much does looks matter to them?
I'm in a sales organization, so obviously looks does have an impact. By dress down, going to a prospect obviously has an impact in terms of their impression of me. Well, I've definitely dressed down at one time when I was meeting a client. Didn't feel like I was dressed down, but they were all in suits and ties, even in their IT departments, which is the ones I deal with most often. So yes, I did feel underdressed for that situation. I don't know if it affected my performance. It definitely had an impact when I first went into the room, so it definitely started me off, in my mind, a step back.
I currently work IT in retail bank, a very relaxed environment. I used to work for an investment bank, and it used to be a much more formal environment, suit and tie, blue jacket. I personally found it more productive to be more in relaxed attire, got more creative that way. When you're in suits and ties, it's more formal. Your language tended to be more professional and not always brought out what you really thought about a particular situation. And I kind of think that when people are more relaxed, they tend to do well in that setting.
My name is Irv Rose, and I'm the facilitator, the course leader for the program Effective Presentation Skills for IT and Technical Professionals. And I don't understand why people don't dress up, because I know that if you look good, you feel good. I think that it gives you credibility. I think it gives you stature and it gives you authority. Because when you're presenting, especially, you're not one of the guys. One of the things that people want to do is feel more confident and feel more comfortable. Well, I can't guarantee that they're going to feel it, but I can guarantee that they'll look it. And one of the ways is to dress. Dress professionally. I don't quite understand why there is the reluctance to do this. Some people get it, others don't.
I work out in the field with chicken companies, and sometimes people just wear khakis, sometimes they wear your jeans. But even if I'm going out and I'm going to get dirty, I always try to look my best when I first go, especially in a presentation. How you look at first portrays to other people Are they going to pay attention to you as much? How serious are they going to take you in the first place? Irv has talked about you should always dress at least one step up no matter what situation you're in. Usually the guys I'm talking to, they may be wearing jeans, but I might wear a pair of khaki pants or something. And I understand why it makes people think that you're the one in control, especially when you're giving a presentation. You want to be in control of the presentation. So I definitely think it has helped.
It would be great to get some feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Your email or phone message might be heard on a future episode. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.